Kindly turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. One verse. The book of Proverbs. 34. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. And what I'd like to consider this afternoon for a few moments, and I want to endeavour to, where's the clock? Yes, see. Leave room for somebody else. I don't know whether that'll happen. We'll just see how we go. The Lord's help. What I want to think about this afternoon is the things that affect all of us. And that is struggling, striving, and strengthening. And so we want to end up with the strengthening one. And we would just read this verse here in Proverbs that says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now there's a psalm that tells us this in Psalm 37, that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, and though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth his head. So as God's people, none of us are exempt from the potential to fall. And we've all got to take heed lest we fall. And we all have the problem of pride in various degrees. It'll affect each one of us. We all seem to want to push self forward. And some of the scriptures that we want to look at this afternoon are in connection with Peter. And if ever there was a man who these three things slotted into his life, it was him. He struggled. He strove. Right at the end of his life, he was strengthening. So, for every brother who finds himself in this position, and we've all been there, and we want to be in this together, all of us are in this together, the struggling. It's never easy, is it, starting off? And the Lord wants the best for each one of us. And it's a bit sad when some of the Lord's people don't rise to their potential. And so here we have the thought of struggle. Peter was no stranger to that. Now we think of Peter in Matthew 14. Perhaps we could look at that just for a quick reference. Matthew 14 and verse 30. Matthew 14, and verse 28. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Well, Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When thou come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. So there we have Peter. He had a struggle with the water. He had a struggle with his faith. And we've all been in that situation. And possibly there will be days in the future where we could well be in that situation. But you know, Peter, he struggled in the water. And it was the Lord's hand that lifted him out of the situation. It was the Lord's invitation. Come. And he went. And we see him there struggling in the water. Now, go back to chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, please. And we see him struggling on the mountaintop. This is the chapter that tells us of the Mount of Transfiguration. an amazing scene. And Peter, this glimpse and this scene that he saw never left him. And later on in his epistle, he writes of this occasion and he speaks of it and with very endearing terms. Matthew 17 and verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But when he had spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Now, one of the other Gospels, it speaks of Peter that he wist not what he was saying. So it was a fuller. And sometimes we actually get into that situation, unfortunately ourselves, don't we, at times, where we say the wrong thing. We mean well, but we just say the wrong thing. So there we have Peter, he's struggling with words. And perhaps some of us have a struggle with words. Words can come easy to some. Others, it's a real effort. So for everybody, any brother that's in that situation where it's a struggle, we want to encourage it. Because struggling, striving can end up with what we've got at the end, the strengthening. So there we have Peter on the mountain. He speaks in his epistle of that occasion when he was there and saw the Lord in glorified form. Now, if we look at Luke's Gospel, we find Peter struggling in the upper room. In Luke 22, he says there in verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So that was Peter's desire. And it's not long after that, and they're fighting and struggling and striving for position. That's Luke 22 and verse 33. Humility seemed to have just gone out the window. We come to back to Matthew's Gospel, and in verse Matthew 26 and verse 36. We're back in Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So here we have a situation with Peter. He's in that inner group of disciples that the Lord had so much to do with. Those three, Peter, James, and John. So he's struggling in the water, he's struggling in the mountain, he's struggling in the upper room. Here he is. He's struggling in Gethsemane. Peter had the desire. So he wanted to do the very best. And he sometimes had a struggle with it. And so it's dangerous for us to misjudge Peter or his fellow disciples. And the Lord wanted them to just know that what he was going to go through, they couldn't be really part of it. Now, we've been in John chapter 21, and that's where we want to look at that. John chapter 21, we've been there this afternoon, or this morning. John 21, and we see the struggle that Peter had there. Verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So this is what we're not going to go into what's already been said about that, but it's just amazing that Peter here, he had a struggle with himself on the shore. And yet, it was there, on the shore, that the Lord brought him right back to where he started. And he got his loyalty straightened out. And the struggling seemed to disappear. And the Lord had a wonderful future for the likes of Peter. Now, we think of the struggling in relation to, we get the word struggle in relation to Rebecca. Remember, she had twin boys, and they were wrestling this inside. This was before they were born. And so we get that word in connection there with struggling. We get the thought with Jacob struggling with the angel. And then we have the struggle right through with the, in relation to the different things that happened in the first century when the gospel was going out in response to the gospel. So much so that Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now what about the striving part? The Lord asked Peter, and he said to him straight out, "Whom say you that I am?" Peter answered that wonderful statement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We find Peter just prior to the cross. It was Peter that strove with a sword. He cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Peter was striving to melt into the crowd prior to the cross. John 18, he stood with them and he was with them as they, and he warmed his hands at the fire. John 21, we find him striving with a current crisis. And he says to his fellow colleagues, "I go fishing." And they automatically say, "We go with it." So we've got all that in John 21. Just an amazing situation where Peter has to deal with himself and the Lord helps him to be able to do it. So when we come down to John 21, verse 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" There he was striving with himself, interested in what the other person was doing, instead of concentrating on his own situation. And so often we find ourselves in that situation. So Peter was striving. What was the answer? The antidote to it all was, "Follow thou me." Now we come to the strengthening. Now we go back to Luke 22. The Gospel of Luke 22, we get that wonderful chapter where the Lord had dealings with Peter there. Chapter 22 and verse 32, is it? 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." This is Luke 22, verse 32. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So Peter had come a long way from a converted, chosen fisherman to be in this situation where he was able to strengthen his brethren. As we read those earlier chapters in the book of the Acts, we find Peter used to a great extent the bringing in of the gospel to the Jews there on the day of Pentecost, and so on. So what a noble task it is to be able to help and to strengthen spiritually those of our fellow men. It's not an easy role, and often we're dependent on the Lord to say the right thing at the right opportune time. Peter, that strengthening part there was great for him, and he was able to be of use to the that at the early church. He was apparently an elder also, probably could have been at Ephesus. And so he had all these different roles, and yet the Lord spoke to him. In remember Paul, he speaks in Acts 20, and he talks about the shepherd role of the overseers. So, feed my sheep. Well, the strengthening goes on, and we all need to be strengthened and encouraged. And I suppose, as we think of Hebrews chapter 12, what does it say? Wherefore, strengthen, or lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. So often, Don, that's what it ends up. We have feeble knees, we need strengthening. And Peter was told by the Lord, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Peter changed from a fisherman to a shepherd. Now, we turn over to for some last comments in Revelation chapter 3. Message to Sardis, the church in Sardis. The church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, thou hast a name, but thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Now that's about the point in assembly testimony where we are today, isn't it? Would we agree on that? Strengthen, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So we've got to be very thankful for any piece of spirituality that's around us in the day in which we live. To think that the Lord spared us right up to this year, we've entered into 2012. I remember when it was the year 2000 coming up. People were scared still. They wondered whether it ever happened. 11 years, complete years have rolled by since then. And so here we have a situation where we need to strengthen and foster that spirituality amongst the Lord's people. Think of Peter. He's involved with the choice of Matthias in Acts chapter 1. He's involved in the day of Pentecost. He's involved with the lame man in Acts chapter 3. And chapter 4 in the book of Acts, he's involved in the work there. He's involved with the miracle in chapter 9 of Acts, the raising of Dorcas and so on. Chapter 10 in Acts, he's preaching in Cornelius' house. And there he is, he's opening the floodgates to the Gentiles. And the word is being responded to. In chapter 12, we have Peter used so much, and there we find him behind in a prison cell. And the Lord's able to deliver. He obviously had more work for Peter to do. Strengthen, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So I've mentioned some of these features about Peter. We see him struggling, we see him striving, and then eventually we see him strengthening others. So it's a good point to remember where we've come from. And the nation of Israel was always reminded that the place where they've been delivered from, they'd come out of Egypt, but now they were so different. We think of the life of the situation with Jonathan. Remember, Jonathan and David? And how we read that Jonathan, he went out and he strengthened David's hand and with God. We read that Solomon, he was strengthened in his kingdom, and during Solomon's reign, there was no evil concurrence. We find of Peter, he speaks in chapter 5, his first epistle. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish and strengthen. So we've thought of those few things about Peter, the struggling. Very briefly, the striving, and then eventually the strengthening. And you know, these words are captured beautifully in that hymn that we sometimes sing, "The Sand of Time is Sinking." In our Sankeys and in our Light Loving book, there's a verse that's not there, but in the Redemption you'll find it. And in the Redemption hymn book, it speaks of the verse that we normally know, "The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet mortal wakes, the dark hath been the midnight, but dayspring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." But this other verse says this: "I've wrestled on toward heaven, against storm, the wind and tide. Now like a weary traveller that leaneth on his guide, the shade, amid the shades of evening, while sink life's lingering sand, I hail the glory dawning in Emmanuel's land." Thank you.